Don't look back because the market is closed. Good Tuesday afternoon, everyone. Kip Herridge here with the Daily Bear Investing Podcast. Hope you had a good day today. Felt like Monday all day today, did it not? I actually had to start this podcast over twice because I said good Monday afternoon twice on it. So I've been struggling all day. But folks, listen, today was a big day. Big topics today to talk about. NVIDIA. Earnings report tomorrow for the close. Stock was down 5% today. Going to walk you through that. A little buy the rumor, sell the news setup. I think this is textbook. Again, Tyler and I just had our pre-podcast meeting here. We're in agreement. This appears to be a textbook consolidation event taking place right here. Look, things could change. But based on what we're seeing from the internals to the strength of the market, from what's happening in the Magnificent Seven, to Apple being below the 200 moving average, we're seeing consolidation take place here, which is working off the extreme overbought condition that existed 2 weeks ago. All of a sudden, guess what? These high flyers, take a look at the charts of them. Look at them on stochastics. Look at them RSI. Look at MACD. Look at money flows. All of a sudden, you're seeing these extreme overbought conditions evaporate. It's still there in NVIDIA, by the way. But anyway, we'll talk about that. Another good smart money hour today. As miserable as today felt after the open. Again, NVIDIA finishing down 5% today. Semis today opened down within an hour or so. We're down 3%. That's been pretty rare for the semiconductors. As you know, the semis lead. Everything else in the market follows the semis. So when you see the semis down 3% with market leader NVIDIA down to 6% at one point, doesn't really give you a great feeling, but that's not how we closed. Semis only closed down 2% on the day. Bitcoin. I'm going to walk you through today because I shared with our subscribers and clients this morning. The Bitcoin halving now is about 60 days away. We've been saying now for over a year, this is time to stay locked in. We're not just talking about equities. We're talking about what is the dot-com of our era, which is cryptocurrencies. I can tell you that we are having active meetings about additional ways to get involved here. We already own in our parabolic options program. We have exposure to options on Bitcoin, and we've done our research and due diligence on the new Bitcoin ETFs. We have a recommendation there. Obviously, we've owned Bitcoin from 28,800 this go round. After buying it at 600, recommending it at 2,000, selling it at 58,000. Get my numbers mixed up. Yeah, that's right. Selling at 58,000, then buying back in last year at 28,800. So we know this space pretty well. We've had a pretty high degree of success in this space, and we only want that to continue, which means the SEC approval was everything. SEC approved ETFs. Bitcoin is now an actual asset. It is a real live boy. And it's not going to be reversed. It's going to remain a real asset. And that's very good because that means what comes next, of course, is the halving taking place in 60 days. So I wrote that up this morning. It'll walk you through that. FactSet has some good data out. Tyler just shared with me. I'll share that with you as well. About 13 straight quarters of revenue growth. Again, we're seeing things happen that only support our belief that we are in the roaring 2020s. And what we love about this is that so few are talking about this. When the balance sheet dynamics for both American companies and for the consumer are the best they've been in decades. And I know that sounds like blasphemy to so many people. We've covered this for so long. But for our newer listeners here, and thank you all so much for joining us, and thank you for your feedback. We value it, really appreciate it. but for our newer listeners, we've been reporting over a year about the strength of the consumer, the strength of American companies. Now others are starting to report it. And we felt, you know, like we were in the wilderness for a while. Like, why is no one talking about this? One of the things that's driven me crazy, because no one's talking about this strength. And I think people feel guilty talking about it. And I know that's got to be it. And because I hear this from people. Like, Kip, don't you know that people are hurting? Don't you know we just had 41 years highs in inflation? Don't you see who's president? What are you talking about? The consumer is in the best shape they've been in decades. What do you mean American companies are in the best shape they've been in 50 years? How can you say that? Don't you know how hurtful and mean-spirited that sounds to someone that's not in America number one? And again, I've covered this so often. It's not an easy subject to cover, but the reality is our job is to make money in the markets. And the reality is that there are two Americas and the markets only care about one. That's just the reality of it. So that's the space that we live, work, and reside in, and that we profit from. And the fact of the matter is, this is the reason that we are in a structural bull market of size and scope, right? It's the foundational strength of balance sheets all across America. And so, again, with America One, which is the America that matters to the markets, just the way it is. So let's get into it. First of all, the markets, a big comeback today. Again, another good smart money hour. This is, again, another repeating pattern that tells us this is a strong bull market. Dow Jones today finishing down just 64 points. It was positive a lot some of this morning, and then it fell. I saw the lows of 170 or something. We had some Zoom meetings today. I missed some of the action, but I know I saw it down well over 150 points. Finishing down again, just down 64 points. That's just less than 0.2%. S&P 500 down 0.6%. Russell 2000 small caps down 1.4%. Hardest hit on the day, except for the semis. But again, as far as the indexes go, the Russell 2000 was our loser on the day. But I've got some data there that I think is going to surprise you, because it surprises everybody we talk to about this, and I think it might you too, because we still believe that the next big a move higher in small caps is going to be a blast off higher. Look at the charts. You don't believe me, I'll cover it more in a moment, but look at the chart. You'll see what we see. We're very close to taking out 52 week highs, at least we were on last Thursday. Last couple of days have been kind of tough, but that's how small caps trade. You know, they had big blast higher and then they retrace for a couple of days and then boom, here we go again. I wouldn't be at all surprised tomorrow if small caps, especially Wednesday in the Nvidia earnings, really blast off. NASDAQ today, again, another good comeback, still down 144 points. That's 0.9%. But again, strong comeback from the lows. Again, semiconductors today, market leader, finishing down 2.2%. Nvidia reports tomorrow for the close. Of course, that's what everyone's focused on. We started teeing this up for you last week, talking about could this be a potential buy the rumor, sell the news event? Well, today kind of invalidates that, doesn't it? Because we've already sold off. This is when consolidations are so important, that they happen when they're supposed to. This looks like a textbook consolidation to us. Again, with the internals, the action in our leadership, the market's clearly broadening. The market, without question, is broadening. That's happening. We saw the internals again today. This morning, when NASDAQ was down well over 200 points, volume was positive for NASDAQ. Here we had Nvidia down over 5% at the 6% at the open, semis down 3%, NASDAQ down 2.5% at one point, and the market and volume for NASDAQ was positive. That is a pattern change. Again, that doesn't happen in a market that wants to go lower. It was something on Nvidia. Oh, in case you're wondering, in case our opinion matters to you about Nvidia and what's going to happen tomorrow, I think, you know, again, this sell-off today, I think it's healthy. I think it's very healthy. It's allowing some folks that are nervous about the earnings report. And remember, Nvidia kicked it all off in April, May of last year, just when we had the regional bank crisis. Here comes Nvidia out of the blue, seemingly, and says, we just destroyed earnings. We just destroyed revenue estimates. And here's why. AI is real. Here's how we know. And they start giving us guidance, right? That they've now backed up. Of course, now it's real, right? It's become real. But it wasn't then. Regional banks were collapsing then. There was a big black cloud over the United States economy. And the Federal Reserve was getting very close to cutting rates. Trust me on this. They were very close to cutting rates because they had to bail out all the regional banks, right? And again, everybody was scared to death. And then Nvidia saved the day. So that's why this report tomorrow is so important, because we've had this massive move higher, again, primarily in mega cap tech and semis, of course. But what if now? What if the markets do for a breather? Very possible. Who knows? Again, we had five corrections of more than 10% in the 1995 to 2000 melt-up. One of those was a bear market. Took the NASDAQ down 33% in 3 months. So these things are these are possible. We all know this, right? Our job is to be as best prepared for these as possible. And that's why we pay attention to the foundational strength of the market. All the things we talk about every day. When we start seeing weakness, we're going to tell you. Now, we still have 10 of 12 VRA Investing Systems Koreans are bullish. We kind of got close to flirting with 9 out of 10. Anyway, it doesn't matter. Bottom line is, when anything we're in this range, right? Anything, when you're 9, 10 screens positive like we are now, it's a big buy signal. So we pay attention to it. We're not seeing signs of anything other than consolidation. But if NVIDIA does what we think it's going to do tomorrow, which is beat, they'll beat on top line, they'll beat on bottom line. This is our call. They'll beat on top and bottom line. They'll beat handsomely. And then the guidance will also be positive. So I'm sure we're going to see a lot of volatility. I think the options markets indicates a move of 10% in this stock based on the earnings report, again, after the close tomorrow. So, it's going to be volatile. But I would tell you that I think any weakness is a buy. It closed today at 686. I thought I saw 666, which I was not going to like to see that. I was raised Southern Baptist, in case that means anything to you. But no, it closed at 686, down 5.5% today. But again, this consolidation is very healthy. We may not get the buy the rumor, sell the news event because we may have it right now. You know, we may be seeing it now. Maybe we get some weakness in the open tomorrow, and who knows? We'll see. But again, I think it's important. We've already had Apple. Again, Apple, it really is the bellwether. It may not be the largest anymore. It's the bellwether. And for Apple to now have the sell-off that it's had, and look at the chart, it's not insignificant. Apple actually topped out on December the 14th. Kind of hard to believe, right? December the 14th was a high for Apple at $196 a share, right? It's $181 now. So it's $15 a share below its high, and it's below the 200-day moving average. Now, what you also want to do is look at the chart with the 200-day in front of you, and something very clear is going to pop out to you. Every time it hits its 200-day, it's a buy. It's a buy. And so we, especially in bull markets like this, so we've kicked the idea around because who wouldn't want to have Apple in the portfolio? It's not really our cup of tea. If it were to get dirt cheap, maybe. We just think we have better opportunities to make more money. Although I will tell you, this next upgrade cycle for the iPhone has us very interested. It's going to be the first iPhone with generative AI. And that means you're going to have the power of computing in your phone that a lot of these NVIDIA chips have and other chips have in their phones. In addition to being lightning fast, which it pretty much already is now, right? You're going to have the ability to run a lot of programs, have it do a lot of work for you. Who knows how it's going to make our lives easier. But anyway, that's the next upgrade cycle for the iPhone. So I think that's interesting. But anyway, the point is, Apple's had this big decline. It's a big decline. And yet the market has continued to move higher. So this is when we say consolidation. That's what a healthy consolidation feels like. And again, for today, for example, again, market finishes sharply lower. HGX, index, finished up 3.5 points. That's 0.5% today. So again, seeing signs of strength in an otherwise pretty ugly market. Again, this is not an everything must go move lower. That was not today. So again, that's what we say. This looks like textbook healthy consolidation. If it was otherwise, we tell you, and when it happens, we will. All right, so let's talk for a second about small. I think it's an important topic. We'll talk about small caps first because we love small caps. I think they're hated, underloved. Everybody keeps saying, "Kip, when are the small caps going?" You guys have been pounding the table on small caps since last October. When are they going to get going? I hear this every day, right? And believe me, I get it. I feel it too, because they were in a bear market for 2 years. But I'm going to tell you what's happened since last October. I think this may surprise you. from the October lows, which was the bottom, okay, for this particular, for this latest melt up, from last October the 27th, here are the numbers. The S&P 500 is up 21%. IWM, the small cap ETF, is up 23%. So it's outperformed the S&P 500 by 2% from the exact same day, last October 27. Does that surprise you? I think it probably does, unless you track it really closely. But this is the one that really got our attention. All right. Mega cap tech stocks have been a house on fire, right? They all reside in the NASDAQ 100, or QQQ. That's the ETF, of course, for the NASDAQ 100. IWM and QQQ are up exactly the same amount, within a half percent, but both up 23% and change from the October 27th lows of last year. So, folks, that's IWM up 23% in less than 4 months. Annualize it. What are we looking at? Close to 70%? So, small caps have performed. They have done well. And we happen to own the three-time leverage small cap ETF, TNA. Do the math on it. It's up 68%. Again, from the October, 3.5 months ago, just over 3.5 months ago. So I think perspective always helps. That's why we run our charts and scans and screens, just to make sure our memory is not faulty. And in this case, frankly, it kind of was. I'd kind of forgotten that IWM small caps had done as well as they've done. But then we have a couple of days of shakeout like we've had today. We had it on Friday. And people always go, well, here they go again. Small caps going to collapse again. Don't think so. Do not think so. I think it's going to be a phenomenal year for small caps. We said from last October, we expected a 40% move higher. Well, we got 23% of already. And so I kind of think it's going to be even more than that, to tell you the truth. That's good. That's broadening action, right? That's what we're talking about. Broadening action is taking place. This is not as narrow and thin a market as a lot of the bears would like us to believe that it is. Let's transition now to Bitcoin, because I covered it this morning. We cover this fairly often here, don't we? We talk about Bitcoin. Of course, you know, we're big fans of it. I want to talk for a second about the halving that's coming up. We want to get in front of this because we think there's so much money to be made here. And we want to make sure that, you know, even if you think it's a scam, even if you think that it's going to be shut down, well, it's not now, right? The SEC gives its blessing. Whatever. You think an EMP is going to go off and that all of these cryptocurrencies are going to be worthless because they can't be traded without electricity, okay? All right. There obviously are some worst-case scenarios that are going to be devastating for anything, any digital assets like this, okay? No question about that. However, there's a reason we believe that everyone should have at least some exposure. It doesn't mean you got to, you know, put 10% of your portfolio in it. Maybe you put 1% in, right? Start to build your confidence up. But this has really been our position for a long time. Have exposure to this group. Because when you own something, what happens? You find out more about it. You become much more interested. If your wallet's not in it, your heart's not in it, right? That old phrase that really holds up and stands the test of time. So have a position in it. And here's why. This is, I believe, what's going to convince you that I'm right, that Tyler's right, and that if you don't have a stake, and I know most of you probably do. We have a very smart audience here, a lot of cryptocurrency fans here. But we also have a lot of folks that reach out and says, you know what, I just snoozed on this, or I listened to somebody that said this whole thing was a scam. It was all going to zero. Anyway, none of that matters now, right? Because we can't change the past. All we can do is worry about the present and the future. Here is what's happened on the last – this will be the fourth halving. It takes place in 60 days from now, roughly. So we'll call it mid-October. This is only going to be the fourth halving. Here's what Bitcoin has done in the previous three halvings. Now, this goes – the first halving – halving is a weird word. The first time they did this was 2012. And by the way, what this is essentially is every halving is designed to make it more expensive and more troublesome to mine Bitcoin. That's the scarcity value they built. The genius of this is built into it. It's not just that there's only going to be 21 million Bitcoin ever in existence once they reach that total, because I think it's like 2030, 2031. Once they reach that, I think it'll be faster, by the way. Once they reach that total 21 million Bitcoin in existence. That's it. There's no more going to be issued, right? And the halvings cut the mining in half. So miners receive 50% fewer Bitcoins for verifying the transactions, essentially creating the coins. These happen every 4 years. Again, it will happen until we're at 21 million Bitcoin. So it makes it, again, that the scarcity value, as we talk about here often, so there is no better supply demand story on the planet. It is Bitcoin. But here's what's happened in the previous three halvings. The first halving was 2012. Bitcoin went from $12 to $964 a Bitcoin in 1 year. That's 2012. And the second halving, which was in 2016, again, every 4 years, it went from $640. That's exactly when Todd and I first bought it. $640 to $19,752 in 18 months. Okay? I mean, we're talking about massive returns here. The third halving was in 2020. Bitcoin went from $8,750, and this, by the way, this is from the date of the halving. Bitcoin went from $8,750 to the highs, all-time high, $69,990, also over 18 months. So all three of these returns are the result of action that took place in less than 18 months. And so that's the excitement of the halving coming up in 60 days or so. Again, I think it's going to be sooner. I've seen some reports it could be as soon as 50 days. But we'll call it at some point in April, which is not that far away now. February's almost over, right? And that's why we think everyone should at least have exposure to this space. And we do it. We obviously own and recommend Bitcoin. The new ETF that we like, in case you want to just buy an ETF, same thing. I mean, these ETFs are brilliant. Of course, the money flows coming in are just ungodly. But yeah, from the Black Rocks of the world and these other ARK, by the way, Cathie Wood's ARK, right? There are 9 to 10 of these ETFs that are approved. I thought it was 10, then I saw 9. Regardless, there's 9 to 10 of these that have been created, and billions upon billions of dollars of buying pressure coming in essentially every day, which is outstripping the amount of Bitcoin that's being mined. Again, supply demand, show me a better story. I'll buy that. You show me a better story first on only on supply demand, and I will close my eyes and I will buy it. You don't have to tell me what it is. Just tell me it's a better supply demand story, because I don't think it exists. And I've been saying this now for a long time. No one's correcting me. And by the way, I'm not a cryptocurrency expert. We're working on it, but I think we know the basics here, which is really all that matters when it comes to investing, as long as you diversify. And that's the key there, right? Start small, build a position. We like Cathie Wood's ETF, ARKB, ARK with the B on the end. That's that's Cathie Wood's ARK Fund ETF, just recently opened. And then we also like a Galaxy Digital. That's our play in the mining space, but it's really much more of a miner. They call themselves the Goldman Sachs of cryptos. And we're underwater on that one, by the way. But it's been acting really good. And I think it does have a bright future ahead of us. So we've kept a buy rating on that. And that's our exposure. And again, we are looking for additional ways to get exposure. We had someone reach out to us in the podcast, and I've lost the note, the email, because one of the things we want to do, we want exposure to tokenization. We want exposure to the way the blockchain is going to be used to provide fractional ownership for any number of asset classes. Folks, when we talk about financial engineering, again, that's the title of our book, The Big Bribe, Financial Engineering, Powering this Great Bull Market. Fractional ownership of real estate, fractional ownership of homes, right? Using the blockchain, all of a sudden, you want to buy part of a home, part of an investment project, part of a condo project, part of an apartment complex, part of anything in the real estate space, right? Raw land. You want to buy a part of it? Guess what? It's for sale. It'll be for sale. You just go purchase on the blockchain. Boom. The owner sets up, I don't know, 10%, 20% that they're willing to sell. And then boom, here come the buyers. What does that do for the value of that asset? Think about this. Because all these new eyeballs, all these new investors that now have a stake in your project, your home, all right? So there'll be funds set up to manage this. It's going to be, people are going to call this 2008 part two. That, you know, they somehow say it's overexposure, real estate's gotten too hot. This is why, folks, this is the roaring 2020s. This is what we're talking about. Just unbelievable innovation taking place that allows us to invest in all these things we never had a chance to invest in before, and to do it with technology that's never been seen before. That's very exciting. And that's at the root of why Bitcoin is as hot as it is. 52,111 right now as I speak. I've been all over the map today. It is trading at extreme overbought on steroids on the BRE investing system. But folks, I think any shakeout, we may have had it today. You know, it hit a 52 high this morning at 52.9. And then next thing you know, it dropped over 1,000 Bitcoin. These shakeouts, you know, again, it's volatile. They're going to be, I think, short-lived. I think not much different than this full market, except probably more short-lived. Again, because there is no better supply demand story on the planet. So that's the Bitcoin halving story. That's a little insight on why we love it. And while we do think every investor should have at least some in their portfolio. And maybe you have another way you want to play it that's even has greater leverage. So if you do, let us know. And if that listener, they said they understood the fractional ownership of Bitcoin for these real estate projects. If you're listening today, please reach back out to me. I promise you, I won't lose your email this time. But that's an area we have a very, very big interest in going forward. We have some creative ideas there that we want to put to work. All right, what else here? Oh, Roaring 2020s. Let me just cover a couple of things. So, just learned that U.S. companies have $4.4 trillion in cash. That's an all-time record. So again, the all-time records just keep piling up. In addition to that, not only do they have more cash than ever on hand, their debt to market cap is at 50-year lows. So it's again, it's cut to the beginning. Both consumers and American companies are in their best financial shape in decades. This is the untold story of this structural bull market. Ed Yardini came out late last night and raised, again, he also has called this the Roaring 2020s, and he also believes it could be similar to 95 to 2000. And maybe he hasn't written about it as long or been as certain of it as we've been, but Ed Yardini is a well-known economist, and he's really smart. He's got his own investment system, kind of similar to your investing system. His is more based on economics. Ours is more based on supply and demand. But as he says, as we've written previously, we expect the S&P 500 to hit 5,400 by year end. Okay, so that's essentially 12% higher from here. Okay, you know, it's not bad, right? But then he thinks that in next year, S&P 500 hits 6,000. And then 2026, they just have a new target of 6,500. So they're looking for essentially 8 to 10 to 12% growth in the S&P 500 each year. Our numbers are, we're much more bullish than that. Again, because we think this is the next 95 to 2000. And this could get crazy. I hope it doesn't really too soon, because then, you know, we have a melt up, investors don't get to get in, and then it's just a nosebleed territory, and then you get the volatility and you get wild swings. That's not all that healthy. I'd rather be more measured. I just don't think it's going to be. But anyway, Ed Yardini is very good. Got a very bullish call out today. What else here? Oh, this is also, I think, interesting. We report this fairly often. As of Friday's close, less than 64% of the S&P 500 is trading above its 50-day moving average. Folks, that was 93% to start the year. Okay, so again, if anyone's saying we're so overbought, we have to crash, they don't really know what they're saying. Also, above the 200-day, it's just 72.8% of the S&P 500 above the 200-day. It was 82% to start the year. So, yeah, there are some stocks that are nosebleed territory, right? That's a given. That's not most stocks. And I think that's why the internals continue to improve. Again, we saw it again today. I'll cover that here in just a moment. What else? Walmart reported good earnings today. Stock even this week market closed at 3%. They also made another new acquisition, increased their dividend by 9%. Again, these are the things that happened in the Roaring 2020s. Certainly in a very strong economy. Again, FactSet now says We've had 13 straight quarters of revenue growth. That's what the fourth quarter of 2023 is going to represent. 13 straight quarters of positive revenue growth. Folks, that's rare air right there, right? This is what the Fed's looking at. This is what the Fed's looking at. They see what we see. And that's why they've been hesitant to cut rates. They're going to. Will it be at the March meeting, like I've said earlier? You know, at this point, it would take a shocker. But look, look at these presidents. Look at the regional bank crisis of last year. Anything could pop out of the blue to put the March rate cut right back on the table. But remember, if it is the May meeting, okay, we're talking about nothing because the May meeting is really an April meeting. It's April 30th and then April 31st. I'm not sure how many days are in the month of April. I think it's 31. And then the meeting, the Fed rate hike or cut, excuse me, would have to take place on May 1st. So it's not that much different than the March meeting. It's like 45 days difference. Not a big deal, right? Right. But anyway, the Fed's next decision will be to cut rates. Again, it's another reason why Bitcoin's doing well, and certainly why we believe gold and silver and the miners are going to skyrocket. They do that when rate cuts begin. We're getting closer to that. Saw some better action in this group as well today. Miners were another group, one of the rare groups today, sectors that was positive. GDX miner ETF up 0.5% today. Starting to see some better action there. Again, they do very well around rate cuts, not so much rate hikes. All right, let's take a look under the hood today at the internals. Quick refresh. As I said a minute ago, in the first hour of trading, when the markets were at their lows of the day for that, for NASDAQ and for semis, okay, volume was positive. Now, throughout the day, you know, it became a little more sketchy, but still, these were not bad readings of the market down this much. I'm going to round up, make it simple. NASDAQ volume was down 1.8 to 1. That's advanced decline. NYSE only negative by about 500 issues. A volume today was 1.5 to 1 negative NASDAQ. Again, NASDAQ down almost 1% today. That's not bad. It's not a bad reading at all. It's actually a bullish reading. Volume today for NYC was negative by 2 to 1. That's our only 2 to 1 negative reading today. And then check this out. We had, 231 stocks hitting a new 52-week high to just 123 hitting a new 52-week low. So again, on a day like this, this is that internal strength, that broadening we're talking about, which tells me when this market and consolidation does end and when we start advancing again, whenever that may be, coming out of NVIDIA or just maybe fourth quarter earnings, this is kind of the bearish period for February that we're in now. So when this consolidation period does end, I expect the internals to be smoking hot. Because that's what we're seeing on days like this. Again, very good sign. These readings could have been a hell of a lot worse than they were. That's the point I'm trying to make here, in case it wasn't very clear. And our sector watch today, these were not good, but not a lot of damage done. It was just really an ugly overall reading. We had 10 of 11 S&P 500 sectors finished lower in the day, led to the downside by technology. But again, just down 1.2%. Consumer discretionary down 1%. Everything else pretty manageable. The only sector higher today, consumer staples, which makes sense on a day like this, up 1.1%. Again, 10 or 11 sectors lower, but not much damage done here. That's good. That's good. Commodity watch. Gold today, up $11 an ounce to $20.35. Silver down 42 cents an ounce at $23.04. Copper up 1 penny a pound at $3.85 a pound. Crude oil down $1.26 a barrel at $77.20. And again, Bitcoin, let me give you a fresh quote here. Bitcoin right now, 52,166. So it's on its way back up again. I've said it before, why not say it again, right? I would not be, I kind of expect Bitcoin to hit 100,000 headed into the halving. Now, maybe it's a week or two after that. In April, when the halving takes place, I believe Bitcoin will double, almost double from here. And we have history actually to back that up, don't we? All right, folks. Hey, always appreciate you listening. Hope you had a great day and even better night. We'll see you back here again tomorrow after the close.